This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
That's right. It is Money Moves. She is Arielle Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry on this Friday afternoon, wherever you are watching or listening. If you're driving around, hopefully your commute is going well and you're in for a treat. So listen, I've known Arielle now. Arielle, we've known each other, I want to say five-ish years, maybe mm-hmm. 5-6 years, right? Right around the pandemic absolutely. Is where we met. You, in my estimation, and this is not me, you know, whatever, I think you might be the best handicapper for pitching props, okay? Like, I follow along, you nail them. I joke with you a bunch about, like, hitter props, right? Because I do hitter props, you do pitcher props, I know you can do hitter props. And then you said to me, you're like, Keith, I have heard he plays for you. I'm like, whoa, that's the headline. So hour number two, our headline is, yeah, you have Herbie plays. You have the hit run RBI prop. So let's go Pirates and Red Sox. Give me a player from this game that you're looking at.
You're the one that introduced me to this market. Ever since total base props got overly juiced, we found Herbie. Hits, runs, and RBI. Yes. And Trevor Story has been absolutely crushing it. He has homered now in two of his last three games. The Sox, by the way, side note, 20-1 this year when Trevor Story homers. But Story's averaging just over two hits, runs, and RBI at home against righties at night. And when at home against righties at night, Story has cashed the over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI in 13 of the last 20, 7 of the last 10. With Story at home, the story is we're going over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI, Keith.
I like it a lot. And again, if you're new to the hits, runs, RBI play, walks help you sometimes because a guy can walk three times and score twice, and there you go. So there's a lot of different avenues with the hits, runs, RBIs. And again, you talked about the total base props being juiced a little bit now. Unfortunately, the books are starting to do the over 2.5 hits, runs, RBIs, which I don't love as much. I try to stick to the 1.5.
Yeah, that's
the
a
Marlins
lot of
and the Mets.
Court field.
Yeah, they're screwing it up for us. So the Marlins in the Mets, Jonah Tong is making his major league debut for the New York Mets tonight. That's going to be one of the storylines. You have another story for this game?
Yeah, this one's not Trevor's story, obviously, but it's Pete Alonso, the Polo Bear. And the Polar Bear is going over 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI as well. He's driving in just under 3 hits, runs, and RBI at home at night when facing righties. And Alonso's hitting .313 in the last week, .295 in the last month. Hits better at home, better against right-handers. And so I would say take the over here. 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI for Pete Alonso at home.
Like that one as well. Polar Bear loves playing at home, hitting at home. I think the environment is going to be electric at Citi Field tonight. The other New York team, the Yankees, are in Chicago taking on the White Sox, Rodon and Gomez. And I got two plays in this game, and then you can react to them. I like the Yankees to win this game. Money line wasn't a play for me, so I'm going to actually take them on the run line. It's not typically one of my plays. I like the player props better than the sides, but I feel really confident. If you look at Carlos Rodon, shockingly, he's been pretty consistent. I believe that this team can run away from the White Sox, even in the game yesterday where it took a little bit later in the game for them to kind of run away from it. If the Yankees are going to, quote unquote, salvage slash save their season, it had to come against the Nationals and the White Sox. You got to beat up on the teams you're supposed to beat. So I think they'll win. I'm going to take them on the run line. And then I wanted Aaron Judge, the Herbie play there. It was over 2.5, too rich for my blood. Wasn't in on it. So I'm going to take the total bases here. It was actually at -110 this morning at most books. So if you can get that, please do it. Two or more bases. Three of his last six games. A little sprinkle on a home run as well for Aaron Judge. Those are my two Yankee plays.
Hey, homer or bust for the Yankees. And by the way, the Yankees have hit 45 home runs over their last 16 games. That's an American League record. 66 of their 106 runs scored in that span, which is 62%, have come off home runs. I went on a rant. Yes, they lead baseball in homers, but this team never wins a World Series by winning homers except in 2009. But then it doesn't work after that. I hate this. Play baseball. Enough with the freaking home runs. But for now, it's working against the bad teams, so I guess you might as well pad the stats, Yanks.
Clearly, all right, speaking of You know what? I was about to make this a segue. Now I'm not going to word it that way because I want people to get it mad at me. Let's just move along. Angels and the Astros, Anderson and Javier. I'll go first here. You know my affinity for Jose Altuve. I think his props are always a way to play. Total bases, plus 120. Sign me up. Career numbers against Anderson, beautiful. 9 for 28, a home run, and a double. Had a home run yesterday. Two or more bases, three of his last five games. Again, if you want to look at the Herbie play, he's topped that in three of his last five games as well. But I couldn't get away from the plus money, plus 120, Jose Altuve. I mentioned Anderson. He'll square off against him. What's your play on Tyler?
I love when a lefty's on the mound, especially when there's drastic lefty-righty splits. And Anderson, over 3.5 strikeouts. He's had at least 4 strikeouts in 14 of 19 games against teams with high K rates against lefties. When Anderson is on the road, he's actually hit the over 3.5 in 7 of 9 starts, so being on the road doesn't bother him. 8 of the last 10 lefty starters to face Houston went over 3.5 strikeouts. Around minus 135, I would take the over 3.5 on a low K number against a Houston team that strikes out more against lefties than righties.
All right, Ariel, so you're at the point of the season, we're August 29th, where clearly you have a better feel for the over or the under on outs. I'm always afraid of this early on in the season. Seth Lugo, you're going over on the 15.5 outs. You got a good number at minus 105 in this Tigers-Royals game. Why over for Seth?
I usually also don't like to bet a back-to-back, a.k.a. when a pitcher faces the same team twice in a row. However, because Lugo had such a bad outing last time around where he went 4 1/3, 6 earned runs, 5 Ks, I'm thinking, okay, second time through, Lugo's now home where he pitches much better, 3.28 ERA at home, 4.76 on the road. Lugo has gone over 15.5 outs in 77% of home games. In those spots, he averages 17 outs a game. 64% of the last 20 righties to start against Detroit went over their outs prop, and the Tigers are averaging about 16 outs a game against starters. So this 15.5, it might be a close call. Seth Lugo should, second time around at home, have a better outing and stay in this game long enough at home with his better record there. So give me Seth Lugo over 15.5 outs.
You sold me on that one. I like it. Again, she is Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. It's Money Moves right here on VSiN. I'm looking at the Diamondbacks and the Dodgers. And anytime you have the LA Dodgers, and you jokingly said it just about, you know, half hour ago, their loaded lineup, there's so many different ways you can go. You look at Otani, you look at Betts, you look at Smith, you look at all these players. Freddie Freeman, quietly on a 3-game hitting streak. That's not robust. It's not anything you have to write home about, but he's clearly seeing the ball. And again, I like to go to the, you know, batter versus pitcher matchups to just see, is there a history there? Well, Zach Allen's been okay this season. Not great. Not the typical Zach Allen. And Freddie Freeman sees him well. 7 for 25, a little bit under .300 batting average. Got a pair of home runs, a pair of doubles. The total base prop here for Freddie Freeman is at minus 110, so basically even money. I like it. And again, I'll come back to the hits, runs, RBI. I got priced out of it, so I went with Freddie Freeman on the total bases. So, again, I think the Dodgers are a team. There's a lot of different players you can look at. That's Freddie's my guy tonight.
I always like some Freddie Freeman at home. Give me all that action on the Dodgers and the D-backs. It's always so tough figuring out the Dodgers, and the D-backs have been the biggest disappointment of my season. So, very frustrating. I'm trying to see if there was anything that stood out for me. In that game, actually, Ketel Marte has really bad numbers against Blake Snell. He's hitting .214, 6 for 28. He's got 2 doubles, 2 homers, 5 strikeouts. Just not a lot of sample size there, so you could look at Ketel Marte under 1.5 total bases, minus 125. He went under in 56% of games on the road against lefties and 5 of 7 when facing the Dodgers. So that's another way that you could take the other side of that for a D-backs player.
Your Ketel Marte play, how many strikeouts did you say he had against?
5.
Against Snell? He had 5. If you can find the market there, it's a little harder to find sometimes, but strikeouts for individual like hitters is sometimes a play worth looking at. If you feel like, all right, Ketel Marte should face, Blake Snell, but whatever, insert player X is hitting, and you know that they're going to face this pitcher at least twice, if you believe they'll strike out at least once there, if you could find that market, I kind of like it. One more hitter prop for you, and I know we'll do a little bit more later in the hour. I like Rafi Devers tonight. I'm going to go to his Herbie play, over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs, minus 105. Good numbers against Kramer again in his career. 2 home runs and a double. A 3-game hitting streak again. Not like, oh my God, I have to play it, because the hitting streak is just a little bit more, you know, data point for you. He's topped this prop in back-to-back games, and he's topped this prop in 4 of his last 7 games. And again, it kind of looks like Rafi Devers is seeing the ball very well tonight. That's a late night one. Ariel, you know what that means. That means if you end up texting me at, you know, like 12, you know, at like midnight, I'll be on the Peloton bike watching that game, waiting to see if that hits.
I really need to follow your lead in doing this whole late night gym thing. Not that I'm a parent of a human. Now I'm a parent of a dog, and it just really takes a lot of time of my day making sure that the dog is taken care of. I didn't understand your midnight workouts, but I'm starting to understand them now.
Yeah. Listen, for anybody who's just tuning in, Ariel again and I, we often talk at like weird hours because we do this betting thing, right? And it's all, I just remember her and Dave Sharapan numerous times texting me, oh, did you see that? Yeah. What are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm on the bike. I'm watching because I want to make sure I stay awake. Because if I don't sit on the bike, I'm going to end up sitting down on my bed. I'm going to fall asleep. So I kill, I don't want to say any
birds with stones or whatever. I just don't know how you fall asleep after the Peloton at midnight.
Takes me about 10 minutes. I'm fine. Yeah, rinse my face, you know, my little routine at night. You make sure I got this beautiful glow on my face.
I would never tell you.
You figure it out. You do. College football on the other side. We still got some NFL as well, and maybe a little U.S. Open later in the hour. She's Ariel Epstein. I'm Keith Irizarry. It's Money Moves.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
One of the biggest football betting questions: do you need a proxy? Well, you can join the world's biggest football contest with one trip to Vegas anytime before the season starts, trusted by thousands of players over the last 9 seasons. Winner's Circle proxy service helped clients win over $9.3 million last 2 seasons. Let me say that again. $9.3 million the last 2 seasons. You learn more about this trusted proxy service. Go over to winnerscircleproxy.com/VSIN. She is Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. It is Money Moves. We are live with you right here on VSiN, and we go to the guest hotline, bring in Ryan McIntyre. The college football experience on socials. It's Moneyline_Mac. All right, Ryan, college football season, it's here. I know it's been here for a week already, but I feel like tomorrow is the day. Before we get to that, got a bunch of games tonight. So how have the plays been going for you so far?
Good. I went 3-2 week 0 and then 6-3 last night. So it's always good to start a little hot, get in the green. And I'm excited for the games tonight. It's good. I'm more of a home campuses guy. So I like the game in Dublin, but I prefer the game in the States and in some of the environment and what we'll see in Columbus and Baton Rouge tomorrow. I think is going to be top notch. So it's great to have college football back, and let's get into it.
So coming up on the slate tonight, we do have a bunch of games. And Georgia Tech, I feel like they're coming in with a lot of hype. I've heard people say that they could even be a sleeper in the ACC if you don't want to be so public and take Clemson. How do you see them stacking up against Colorado?
Yeah, interesting matchup just because Colorado is replacing a lot, as everybody knows. And first off, I'm glad Deion's all right. And I think that it's going to be a crazy atmosphere there because it's Deion's first game, cancer-free. But Georgia Tech kind of seems to be the trendy sleeper pick in the ACC. Haynes King coming back. That offensive line's coming back. Brent Key's a really good coach. He's been a really good coach as an underdog, but he's not been good as a favorite or good on the road. So I actually like the Buffs here as a home dog here tonight. I love playing teams at altitude in the month of September. I think it's a tough place to play there out in Colorado. And I think Colorado is better in the trenches than everybody's giving them credit for. So you're giving me more than a field goal. I'm going to take the Buffs as a home dog there, getting the 3.5 on the hook.
Ryan, if it was basketball and it was Auburn versus Baylor, we'd all be jumping for joy saying this is the most enticing game of the week. Give me a play in this Auburn-Baylor game from the football standpoint.
Yeah, well, I mean, the narrative is kind of similar on both. Both have win totals around that 7.5, 8.5 range. Dave Aranda, Hugh Freeze, both teams come in with high expectations. Baylor won the last six games of the year last year. I'm on the home team. I think Sawyer Robertson finished really strong last year under Spavital's offense. They won their last six. Robertson threw for 3,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. And Auburn, I just think that they haven't done anything to prove that they should be a road favorite. I know they went into the portal. They're kind of another hype team in the preseason, like Georgia Tech, that's received a lot of publicity because of the guys that they brought in at the receiver position and on the defense. But I trust the Baylor continuity in that program more. And I think that place, it's another environment that I think is going to be on fire tonight at McLean Stadium. So I think Baylor will win outright. And I actually think Colorado will win the other game outright too.
We've got a larger spread on the slate because we've got 9.5, Sam Houston State catching 9.5 against UNLV at Sam Houston State, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, 61.5 total. Are you laying 9.5? I know week one, it's not so daunting, a 9.5 point spread, to be honest.
Yeah, I think we're getting a little bit of a discount with the Rebs here just because they look so bad against Idaho State, giving up 500 yards of offense. But I think Dan Mullen, they'll make some adjustments here. Sam Houston's coming off kind of a lackluster opener as well at Western Kentucky. They defensively, they struggled as well. I expect a lot of points here. I think UNLV will pull away late. And worth noting, this game is being played about an hour and a half, hour and change from campus because Sam Houston's renovating their stadium. So this is kind of a neutral site game as well. So I'll take UNLV. I'll lay the points.
Ryan McIntyre, College Football Experience on socials, Moneyline_Mac, joining us right here on Money Moves. Keith Irizarry, Ariel Epstein. All right, so I feel like you could do a WWE-style opening for this. It's Texas, it's Ohio State, Arch Manning. Like, you could do all that stuff. Is this a game where you look at it and you go, there's both of these teams are so talented that you want to make lots of plays? Do you hone in on, like, one specific thing here? How do you handle a game like this?
Well, the first one is I like the under. I think that in these bigger games, we'll talk about LSU at Clemson later, is it kind of feels like more of a boxing match when it's these top five, so much anticipation, both teams replacing so much, a lot of just body blows, and then finally in the third and fourth quarter, you may get a knockout punch. So obviously Ohio State ended Texas season in the Cotton Bowl in the semifinals last year. Both teams are completely new. Both teams had, double-digit guys go to the NFL last year. I like the home team. I like the Buckeyes. I feel like I'm in the minority here. I think everybody's riding this Arch Manning hype train, but I think I like to fade young quarterbacks in their first road start. I think this is a tough hand for Arch going into the Shoe with four new offensive linemen. I trust the culture of Ohio State at the Shoe, raising the banner. I think that defense gets it done for him. So I like the under, and I like the Buckeyes at home.
Over to the ACC, where Florida State doesn't look like the Seminoles that we're used to, which is why they're getting 13.5. Hosting 8th-ranked Alabama. I know it's hard because Alabama now year two, no Nick Saban, still a lot of newness to this team. Some people not as high on the Crimson Tide, thinking maybe their new head coach doesn't even last through the next year. Are you willing to lay 14 on the road still against Florida State?
I am not. I got to see it from Alabama. And I think Alabama's upside is very high. I haven't been in my national championship, but this is another first-year starter hitting the road. And I know Florida State was embarrassing last year, 2-10, but they're trying to get their fan base back. And I think that they've been pissed off all offseason. They go out and get Gus Malzahn, the offensive coordinator, who's had success against Bama calling plays. Castellanos comes in. I think that Florida State's going to throw the kitchen sink at him. You're giving me 14 points against a first-year starter on the road in that crazy atmosphere in Tallahassee. I'll take the two touchdowns in the home dog here.
Ryan, what intrigued you about Tennessee and Syracuse as a matchup?
Both teams just replacing so much, especially on the offensive side of the ball. Two new quarterbacks. I like Tennessee in this matchup. They've had a lot of success against Syracuse or against the ACC. NC State they blew out. Virginia the year before that they blew out in these early season games. The SEC's really had the ACC's number in week one and two over the last couple years. But this game's in Atlanta, so it might as well just be a home game for Rocky Top. I just think defensively, they're going to be able to choke out this Syracuse young offensive line in skill positions.
If there was one place I wouldn't want to open up my season, it's West Virginia. When you have to go into that place, that party, which we saw last year, I remember McAfee out there, but yeah. Robert Morris has to head over to West Virginia. And this is your largest spread on the board for what you have on your card. 38.5. I was saying that 9.5 is definitely not daunting for week one. This is a welcome to week one of college football. 38.5. How much is too much?
I think that they're going to put it on him. The excitement's off the charts because obviously Rich Rod's coming back. And I just think that that place, they've sold out all the season tickets. I think that they're going to make a statement here. So I think they win this by 40 plus. And to your point, you want to see an atmosphere, that backyard brawl in two weeks when Pitt comes to town, that's going to be off the charts.
Yeah, but guys, you're missing the boat here. I mean, Long Island University is playing at Florida. I mean, that's the game of the week, you know, being a New Yorker.
Homer.
I jest. All right, so Ryan, got about 90 seconds left. So just from a macro standpoint, like a big standpoint, college football, people getting into college football betting this season, what are some things, like pieces of advice you'd give them?
I just think it really study the continuity of these programs, just because with the portal and the NIL, I think the dogs are going to feast early, just because I think the G5 brings back more because they don't have the NIL and as much via the transfer portal. I think the big boys will be better down the road when they get some more staff or some more continuity and some more games under their belt. I think we lose track that these still are 18 to 22-year-olds. I know they're getting paid a lot of money, but your locker room still really matters, and losing is so fragile. So you saw with Florida State last year, it goes a little bit wrong, and then it can go off the rails. So I like the dogs early. And teams like Penn State and Clemson, I think, have a leg up because they have a quarterback in year three with an offensive coordinator and a lot of continuity on the offensive line.
Love it again, Ryan McIntyre, the College Football Experience. Check it out on social, Moneyline_Mac. Ryan, thanks for the time. We will talk again very soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
There he is, Ryan McIntyre on the other side. Little tennis, little college football, maybe NFL. We got a boatload to do. She's Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. It is Money Moves right here on VSiN.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the sports betting network.
So much in the world of sport to discuss. She is Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. It is Money Moves on VSiN, and we bring in Zach Cohen, senior editor at VSiN.com on socials, betting on X, joins us now. And Zach, I love our chats. There are so, I prefaced it that way on purpose because there are so many sports to talk about, and we could dive into the U.S. Open and tennis. And Barbara Krejcikova, money line is plus money. Is that the reason you like it because it's plus money, or do you really think she's going to beat Emma Navarro?
It's actually moved now to, I think it's -110 for both of them. And, you know, Krejcikova, I think, is a favorite in some spots. So I have this because I think Krejcikova is going to win. I think Navarro was struggling a bit coming into the U.S. Open. She had lost 3 straight matches in 5 of her last 6. This year, her hold percentage is down like 5 percentage points from last season. It's just been a little bit of a weird year for her, and she did beat Krejcikova at Wimbledon, but that was when Krejcikova was coming off a pretty lengthy injury absence. She's kind of back in the groove now, and this is a 2-time Grand Slam champion that is very crafty, very smart. I think she's going to adjust pretty well from that last matchup and take advantage of a player that I think is low in confidence and just really out of form at the moment.
Tomorrow, we've got Bublik up against the American Tommy Paul, and Bublik's around -116. How willing are you to back the American?
I'm not going to be on Tommy Paul in that match. I'm going to be on Bublik there. I don't like fading two Americans as my two picks that I give you guys. But I will say, like, Tommy Paul was injured as well, you know, over the summer. He's only played five matches since Wimbledon. The other night he had to play a five-set match against Nuno Borges that was just grueling physically and mentally. And now he's playing against a guy in Bublik who has just randomly turned into Roger Federer. I mean, dating back to early March, at a Phoenix Challenger, he is 35-9 in his last 44 matches. He has three titles this season. He's a very difficult player when he is, you know, playing his game. He's a big server, but also has a really good drop shot, a really good slice, just a lot of variety. I think this is a really tough match for Paul to have to win with, you know, banged up legs. Whatever he was dealing with the other night, he was not able to make a serve. So I think this is a really tough matchup for him.
Zach Cohen, senior editor of vsin.com, joining us right here on Money Moves. When you talk about the men's side of things, Sinner and Alcaraz, like, they're the dudes. And Djokovic obviously takes a lot of handle because people, you know him. He's an all-time great. Is there someone else that you would bet on to win the whole thing on the men's side?
I don't know about to win the whole thing, but I think in quarter two, there are some options available with some futures. I mean, Alexander Zverev's out there, I think at plus 135 at DraftKings, and Alex de Minaur, plus 230. Those are the two players that I have meeting in the quarterfinals there. So I do think that one of them will end up reaching the semifinals. And Zverev is a player that, if he's there, I mean, he's good enough to do it. It's just, does he have too many mental demons, so many big matches in his career, you know, to get over the hump and beat a Sinner in that match? I mean, I do think he can and will at some point, and I think that maybe this is the time for him to do it. With Sinner, you know, having been sick in Cincinnati last week, having to pull out of that match against Alcaraz, but I do think that if you're trying to attack some, you know, something that's not Sinner or Alcaraz in this tournament, you maybe want to go to the quarter route.
We've got college football starting, well, already starting, but more college football tomorrow, and Florida State and Alabama are going head-to-head. Florida State's catching 14. It just feels like a lot for a proven team like the Seminoles at home. How much do you feel the same?
Yeah, I love Florida State plus 14. I also played an alternate plus 8.5 at plus 142, and I have a little bit of Florida State money line at plus 425. I think I'm like the only person in the world that has any faith in Mike Norvell after last season. I know last year was a complete disappointment, but this is a team that brought in the sixth best transfer class this year, has a completely new roster. They also hired Gus Malzahn as offensive coordinator, Tony White as defensive coordinator. These are proven coaches at this level. I think Malzahn, especially with Tommy Castellanos as his quarterback, they're going to have a humming offense this year. And I do think that, you know, we're putting a little much faith in Alabama with a new quarterback, Ty Simpson, who I think is very unproven. I know that, you know, there's some rave reviews about him. I know he was a five-star recruit, but it does seem like he's a bit more of a game manager than the type of dynamic playmaker that we have seen with the Crimson Tide over the last couple of years. And having to go into Doak Campbell Stadium, you know, start your first big game against the Florida State team that I do believe is very talented and very well coached, I just think it's tough to expect them to win by more than two touchdowns. And I would be surprised if this is not a pretty close game in the fourth quarter. So grabbing the points, grabbing the alternate points, and I do think it's a chance, there's a chance that, you know, the Noles win this one outright, and I kind of think they're a sleeper in the ACC this year.
Wow, look at that. All right, Zach, so it is a college football landscape where we often talk about the QBs and all the new guys, and you get the Nussmeiers and the Klubnicks and Arch Manning, and we can go on and on and on. Virginia Tech and South Carolina, Lenora Sellers, a lot of, you know, scouts are saying he could potentially end up being a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. With that being said, are you going to side with South Carolina or Vatek?
I think that South Carolina could win the game outright, but I think that 7.5 is a lot to be giving Virginia Tech. I think, you know, the Gamecocks lost three starters along the offensive line from last year. Dowell Loggins, the offensive coordinator, who Sellers, you know, did so well with last season, now the head coach at Appalachian State. I just think there's a lot of turnover there to kind of expect them to kind of roll offensively again against a team that I think is going to be much improved defensively from last year. You know, they brought in an NFL coach to be their new defensive coordinator after a lackluster year last year. I think the Hokies are going to put a lot of pressure on Sellers in this game. And I think the offense is going to have a lot of success against the Gamecocks defense, which just lost a lot from last year. I mean, the entire front seven is gone, including, you know, their best sack man. I think they're going to have a lot of trouble, you know, putting pressure on Kyron Drones. And I do think that there's going to be some opportunities for Drones to beat them over the top. I think this Virginia Tech team is going to take a lot more chances down the field this year with Philip Montgomery as their new offensive coordinator. And I do think South Carolina lost a lot lot in the back end. I mean, I know that that's probably where they return the most talent from last year, but two of their best defensive backs are gone from a year ago. So I think they're going to be attackable in that regard.
Ariel, we're not hearing you right now, so I'll jump in really quickly. On Saturday as well. Oh, there you go. All right, go ahead, Ariel.
I'm back. That was my bad. I muted myself. My IFB is broken, so I have to mute myself. Heisman's always very interesting when you get to the beginning of a season, and I feel like everybody is talking about Arch Manning. Even if you don't like Arch Manning right now, maybe you wait till tomorrow if he loses, and then you can get a better price. How much value is there down the board of this Heisman race?
I think there's a lot. I mean, I would not want to take Manning as the favorite this year. I think he's going to be unbelievable. I just think that we've seen that Texas likes to run the football. I think that they're happy to win games that are a little lower in scoring. Like, I don't think we're going to see Manning lighting up the scoreboard that often this season, especially with their schedule. So I'd be looking a little further down. I mean, I think Garrett Nussmeier, if you want to take one of the chalkier options, that's where I'd go. I mean, he threw the ball more times per game than I think all but one quarterback last year. Their receiving core is a little bit better this year, and I do think that that's going to be a team that is just going to be involved in a ton of shootouts this year. And if they do find a way to knock off Clemson on Saturday, like, that's just going to be your front runner right off the bat. And that's really hard to kind of overcome for everybody else. But I also would be looking a little further down at guys like Marcel Reed and Jaden Maiava. I think that, you know, dual threat quarterbacks have just done a lot in this market in the past. And, you know, Maiava is one that's very interesting because he's playing in the Lincoln Riley offense. That offense has produced a ton of Heisman winners. And obviously things were a little disappointing for USC a year ago, but it does seem like they can win 9 or 10 games this year, and he's going to put up huge numbers. So I would not be looking at the, you know, the clear favorite in this market. I'll look a little further down and then maybe take some long shots.
Zach Cohen, senior editor, vsin.com on socials, betting on X. It is always fun hanging out with you, and I'm sure we'll talk again very soon, man.
Thanks, guys.
There he is, Zach Cohen. And a reminder, VSiN's exclusive betting splits cut through the noise, pulling real-time data straight from Circa and DraftKings sportsbooks. Circa caters to sharp bettors and big wagers, while DraftKings reflects the broader public market, giving you a unique look at both sides of the action, track the percentage of bets, and handle on every game across every major sport so you can make sharper, more informed bets. You start your edge today for just $9.99 at vsin.com/subscribe. Ariel, we got a minute and a half here really quickly. So when you are looking at all these different sports, like you and I, again, we handicap baseball like all year long. When a season like college football starts, season like NFL starts, we go NBA, NHL, do you find yourself in a situation where you feel like you know everything right away, or there's like that grace period, you need a week or two before you feel a little bit more knowledgeable?
It's always that first week where you go into it, you feel a little overwhelmed, a little in over your head, then that first week's over. It's as if all, like Men in Black, the memory you felt like it was wiped out of you, but now they zapped it right back in you. I feel that way every NFL season. The first week I go into it, oh no, I'm all over the place. How did I handicap this again? Then after week one, I have this weird memory where as soon as I see it on Red Zone, or as soon as I see it on, like, you know, watching every single game on 6 TVs in my dad's basement, now I feel like it's all back. So yeah, 1 week in and then we're good.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat there. I kind of feel like I need 1 week to feel really comfortable, get loose. I think fantasy football helps me a lot with the NFL as well. We got baseball, we got NFL, we got college football all coming up. She is Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. It's Money Moves right here and only here on VSiN.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Micah Parsons. Yes, his name is Micah Parsons, not Michael Parsons, Mr. Jerry Jones. Micah Parsons is a Green Bay Packer. Lots of odds movement there in favor of the Packers. Dallas Cowboy fans are Man, they are angry, but I digress. Ariel Epstein, Keith Irizarry, and I'm not going to allow Jerry Jones to hijack this college football weekend that is upon us and some big baseball games as well. So, Ariel, you've got Texas and Ohio State tomorrow, noon Eastern. We've seen this move and shift a little bit. I'm seeing most of the money come in on Texas. Ariel, I like Texas to win this game. I'm looking at a Ohio State team that a lot of replacements on the defensive side of things. Their, you know, defensive coordinator, Jim Knowles, he's gone. They have only three starters left from a defensive team that, you know, won a national championship there. So I say all that to say this. Ariel, you can totally tell me I'm overthinking this. And you and I have known each other long enough. I will take it if you agree, if you think that. Am I overthinking the fact that Ohio State has had a lot of turnover on a roster in a university that probably doesn't, you know, rebuild, they just reload? Am I overthinking that?
You're overthinking. Ohio State, even though they have to rebuild, they do always reload, and they always go deep. And I like the Buckeyes at home. It's shocking to me that this line flipped to them being home dogs. The money is back and forth. A lot of money coming in on Texas, but we're seeing the books continuing to flip this line in favor of and against each other throughout the last few weeks. I still like Ryan Day as head coach. He's proven that he can win the big games. He's proven that he can get this young talent back to where they were a year prior. They are always winning. Sayin is a very good quarterback, and I think he's going to prove that under the big lights because he's got two of the best wide receivers in the country, backed by a very strong defense and a very underrated running back room. So I think it's going to make this team a little bit more versatile than we are expecting, as opposed to Texas, who I just don't trust this offensive line with a young quarterback who doesn't have much experience in Arch Manning. If you have an experienced offensive line, then maybe this story's a little different. But because of the inexperience on the O-line with Arch Manning under center, I don't think that this game and my dog is in the shot. The dogs are barking. We're going to take the points of the
half state. For our video audience, you just saw that. For the radio audience, yeah, Ariel's dog just, you know, jumped up and wanted to be on the screen. So if you're in a state where you can bet on player props in college football, I think there's value in Arch Manning anytime touchdown, which would mean he would end up running one in or catching one, but it would be running one in. He is, you know, very mobile, not afraid to tuck the ball and run. So I think there's something there. I think Julian Sain probably throws a pick in this game. As much as you say you trust him, I think I trust Arch Manning more. And then when I look at the the Texas defense, their defense has, you know, future pros all over the place. So if you're in a state where you can bet player props, I would look at Arch Manning to score a touchdown, not throwing, you know, running or catching one, I guess, anytime touchdown, and maybe Julian Sain to throw a pick. Those would be two player props I would look at in this game.
Ooh, look at you with all those props at the college football level. I have actually, as much as I do have the name Prop Queen, I think I lost my love for betting props in college sports in March Madness. It has nailed me many times. I can't trust these kids, Keith. I give you credit for it.
It's hard. It is a difficult thing. I think that you got to find the right avenues. You got to find the right games with the game scripts that make sense for this. But you're right. When you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-olds, well, nowadays in college, 23 or 24-year-olds, it is very difficult sometimes to play that.
They're millionaires, you and I are though, on the same, so they age faster.
They are. That's true. All right, you and I are on the same side. Clemson, we think they're going to cover the points against LSU. I'm there because I think Clemson's defense will force Nussmeier into some mistakes. That's why I'm picking Clemson. Why are you leaning Clemson?
Yeah, I just think that they have the better head coach, Dabo Swinney, at home. I love that they are going to bring a lot more of a experienced team. They work better together because they're pretty much going to pick up right where they left off last year, being all comfortable with each other and have that core group of players back. The LSU offensive line is going to be tested in this game, and it's going to be really tough for Nussmeier. the head coach situation. Dabo's the better head coach. Brian Kelly, 6-20 in his career against top 10 ranked teams. And he's winless in week one during his tenure at LSU. I can't trust Brian Kelly on the road. I do trust Dabo Swinney at home and has a lot to prove after last year's down season for Clemson. They're not losing this one under the lights. Primetime at home in their Death Valley. I would lay the floor with the Tigers, the Clemson Tigers.
There you go. We'll give you a recap of our baseball bets in just a few. But first, GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn $50 cashback reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them like regular purchases. It means no cash advance fees, saving you up to 3% to maybe even 5% on every deposit. Plus, you get 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, 2% cash back on everything else that you buy. You apply now at VSiN.com/GBank, VSiN.com/GBank. All right, let's ping pong this a little bit. We'll do our best bets. You do one of yours first. Go ahead.
Going with the over 15.5 outs for the Reds righty, Zach Littell. He has gone over this in 73% of games this year. And when he's on 6 days rest, Littell's gone over 15.5 outs, 5 of 6. And all 4 of those starts when he's at home. The Cards are averaging 17 outs per game against starters this year. 15.5, way too low for Littell at home. Give me the over on his outs.
Like that a lot. I'm going to go with Rafael Devers. We're going to go over 1.5 hits, runs, RBIs at -105. So essentially it's even money. He's got good numbers against Kramer in his career. A pair of home runs, got a double, has 7 hits there on a modest 3-game hitting streak as well. As for this prop, he is, you know, topped it in back-to-back games and topped it in 4 of his last 7. So there's Rafi Devers. Back to you for another pitching prop. I got my baseball. See, speaking of props.
Always pitching props. Tyler Anderson, the Angels lefty, over 3.5 strikeouts. Anderson's had at least 4 strikeouts, 14 of 19 games against high K rate teams against lefties. And when Anderson's on the road, he doesn't really care. He's hit the over 3.5 in 7 of 9 road starts. 8 of the last 10 lefty starters to face Houston have gone over 3.5 Ks. Give me the over 3.5 strikeouts for Tyler Anderson.
And for the moment that everyone has been waiting, I'm about to sing again. Jose, 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 Jose Altuve. I got the bat broken out once again. We're going to go over 1.5 total bases, getting plus money at +120. If you could still get in on that. Yes, sir. Good numbers against Anderson in his career. 9 hits out of 28 at bats. Got a home run, got a double, had a home run yesterday. Is 2 or more bases in 3 of his last 5 games. You could look at the Herbie play if you want as well. I've never told you my Oregon story. So Stormy Bonantoni, the normal host of this, her and JVT, she's in Oregon right now. I was 20 years old. I was covering a Portland State college football game. Do you know that after 8 o'clock, they do not allow minors into restaurants in the Portland area in Oregon because there's bars there? I was a good kid, didn't have a fake ID or anything like that. So literally could not get into a restaurant to eat dinner. I ended up having to go to the movies and get a tub of popcorn and watch a movie.
That sounds like you didn't do your research, Keith. So actually it's your fault.
I mean, I didn't expect this to go that way. I thought you were going to be on my side and say, like, oh, I feel so bad for you, Keith. That must have been really tough for
you. I'll tell you this. There is a bar on the Upper East Side that I go to a lot. I'm not going to say it because I don't want people to find me there. But there's a bar I go to a lot. I'm always there very late. And there was, like, a few, like, the first time I went there for football Sunday at 1 o'clock, I'm wondering why there's children running around this bar. Until I found out it's like a family-friendly sports bar until a certain time of night where children are no longer allowed in. I was mind blown that my bar got ruined because children could be there in the day for football.
Yeah, I mean, as a parent of children, I don't mind it.
But this bar should not be a children-friendly bar. Like, it is a bar with, like, tables, like, okay. But like, it's a bar.
Yeah, I know a lot of bars nowadays will do the. I do like some Dave and Buster's. A lot of these bars nowadays they'll do the if you have a kid, as long as you're ordering food for that kid, they'll allow that kid in there. So, all right, really quick, our best bets. Exactly, that's the problem. Devers, hits, runs, RBIs. Altuve, total bases. Littell, over 15 and a half outs. Tyler Anderson, over 3.5 Ks. There are your plays. Enjoy the college football. Enjoy the baseball. Enjoy the tennis. She is Ariel Epstein. I am Keith Irizarry. It's Money Moves. VSiN. Have a great weekend.